Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, You Make It Happen.
Father, we pray that you would make us not just an assembly of people in a room at an event, but that you would make us people turned toward one another, people who actually care for each other, people who treat each other rightly, people who spur one another on toward love and action. We pray, God, that you would use this time to pique our interest, to push us and to strengthen our motives and to call us to a deeper walk with Jesus. Father, we believe that you are doing your part, and so we pray that you would help each of us do our part. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to continue talking about the things that you and I make happen in the life of our church. And there's lots of things happening in the life of the church. There's things to do, places to go, ways we're trying to grow, ways we're trying to serve, all kinds of things that we do. The idea of kindness is also something that we do. That according to the letters of Paul and the teachings of Jesus, those of us who claim Christ and follow Christ should be people of grace, that we should be people of kindness, people who actually care about each other, people who forbear one another, people who love. Jesus said, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And the thing is, we need to figure out just exactly what does love do and exactly what does kindness do. And we could even get down and we could say, well, how is love different from kindness? And how is kindness different from love? Today I want to focus on kindness as a special way of loving. Okay? The word in the text that we're going to be looking at in Ephesians chapter 4 today, the word that when it shows up and says, be kind, I thought, well, I want to know what is exactly that word mean? Because I looked it up. I looked up the English word and the translation left me a little cold because it was just basically talking about a cordial attitude or friendliness or politeness or, you know, and I thought, you know, I think the Christian idea of kindness is a little deeper than smiling and being friendly. Maybe even more than being gentle. So I just looked up that word and I tried to look at all the different ways, different places it occurred. You know, the word shows up in different forms throughout the New Testament. And here's what I discovered is that if I followed that word through the New Testament, that the way it's used in the writings of the New Testament, it's never just an attitude. It does include an attitude. But usually when this word gets translated in the New Testament, it talks about the kindness of God who does this or does that. In other words, kindness in the New Testament is either God or us doing stuff. Kindness isn't just a friendliness of heart or being friendly to one another or being nice or gentle to one another in some sort of shallow way. It's a deep kind of kindness that actually involves us having goodwill toward one another. And by that I mean we will for the good, right? We look and say, what does that person need? Kindness says, let's give them that. And so we're going to start today in Ephesians 4, verses 15 through 16, kind of hold on to this thread that we've been thinking about how each of us does our part. In verse 15, Paul writes, speaking the truth in love. So it's about truth all wrapped up in love, right? Speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So our actions, the things we're doing, are our effort as a community to mature into who? Christ, right? He's the head. He's the one we're following. He's our leader. He's the center. He's the source. And as we're rooted in Him and as we do our part, we become more and more like Him, right? Verse 16, it says, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Who's holding the body together? The body, right? Not on our own, but with Christ, we all support and hold each other. We hold it together as a group, right? We're part of making community and life and ministry happen. So we support each other and we grow and we build ourselves up in love as each part does its work. There's work for every one of us to do, right? Now, we've talked about this from many different angles over the last couple of months. Let's go down a little further in this chapter. Let's look at verses 29 through 32, where Paul is really getting into the nuts and bolts of what it means for each part to do its work. Okay? He says this, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate. Be what? Kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ, God forgave you. So we see he starts with our mouth, and then he talks about our walk with the Spirit, and he talks about getting rid of the things that are inconsistent with kindness, and then he talks about walking into the way of Christ, right? So let's unpack that a little bit section by section here as we go on. One of the things we can make happen in the life of our church community, we can make our words kind. Anybody out there good at pretty snarky words? Anybody? I have the gift of snarkiness. I'm not proud of it. Well, sometimes I am proud of it. That's how bad I am. You know, I don't know, somewhere at a very young age, I learned the power of snarky words, you know. And you got to watch it, because Paul tells the church that this spirit of kindness that is supposed to permeate, it's supposed to be woven into the fabric of our community. Kindness starts with something as basic as what's coming out of your mouth. It really does. He says, don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, by unwholesome talk, I think he means something much more than naughty words. You know, he's not just talking about profanity. It probably includes profanity. Profanity probably fits into this nicely. But there are many ways to avoid bad or profane words, but be snarky as all get out, or to be negative, or to be critical, or to be ungracious, right? We know the power of the mouth, right? He says, don't let things come out of your mouth that are unwholesome. Now, this might be a good time to just pause and think about one of the things Jesus said. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So one of the problems we have with what comes out of our mouths is the stuff that we're letting occupy our heart, right? And so as we go on the text, we'll see that the idea of the Spirit of God at work in us, redeeming us, that's very important, that Christ be the ruler of our heart. When we surrender our lives to Christ, there's much more abundance and goodness that can come out of the mouth. So we watch our mouths. We want to be careful. He says, don't let unwholesome things come out of your mouth. But what does he contrast with unwholesomeness? He says, instead, the only things that should come out of your mouth are those things that are helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And that word benefit, you're used to hearing the word benefit comes from the same word that blessing, benediction comes from. In other words, the things that come out of our mouth should be constructive and appropriate and a blessing. Would it change the fabric of any community if the things said in that community were careful and kind? That the things that came out of our mouths, that people said, when I talk to somebody from Valley, the things that I hear come out of their mouths are constructive and uplifting. They're appropriate. Notice he says, according to their needs. You know what I've noticed is when unkindness comes out of my mouth, it's usually according to my needs. This is what I think I need to say. Or this, I'm somehow lashing out on something. And Paul says, be constructive, be careful. And before you let those words out, think about the person you're directing those words toward. Is this appropriate for them? Did you know that not everything is appropriate for everybody? Did you know that? People have different temperaments, don't they? They have different backgrounds. They have different fears and weaknesses. We should be careful about how we speak to one another. And we should say, if this is going to be appropriate and constructive in their life, I better make sure that's the way to say it to them. It's a kindness is all wrapped up. The action of kindness, the depth of kindness is wrapped up in a care about what comes out of your mouth. It should be constructive, appropriate. Able to bless. Because the things that come out of your mouth are often the lens through which everyone else will judge your actions. Let me give you an example of that. See this kid? This is grandson number one at my house. Okay? And he looks pretty sweet, doesn't he? He has that ability to be sweet. We don't take pictures of him at other times, but those other times are there, just like they are for all of us, right? Last night, I had a little papa duty. I was sitting on the patio and supervising some play among my three grandsons. And grandson number one, this guy, found himself being quite frustrated with grandson number two. Grandson number two is in a phase we call deafness. Seriously, it's amazing. You can't talk right to him, say his name, and it's as though you aren't there. It's freaky sometimes, okay? And it's not just to adults. I was a little bit happy to see it can happen even with children his age, you know? So my grandson number one is playing ball with grandson number two, which isn't going too well because grandson number two has a different game entirely in mind than the one grandson number one has in mind. And at one point, Soren here, he just loses his cool with his brother. And he says his name about two or three times. And finally, he's just like, what is your deal? And he just goes, launches off on him. And he has this whole demeanor that's like, I'm fed up with you, blah, blah, blah. And then he threw Austin the ball. But Austin isn't listening to him. And Austin turned just in time to have the ball hit him right in the face, which he interpreted as an act of hostility. And I said to Soren, you need to go in the house now for a while because that doesn't fly out here. That's not the way to behave. Get in the house. And he came out a little bit later and he gave me that grandson look like, I'm back and I'm going to be better. And I said, come here, let's talk about what happened before you went in. I said, you were being mean to your brother. He goes, I wasn't being mean. I didn't say anything mean. And I rewound the tape and he didn't really say anything that mean. But he said it with a frustration and an irritation and an anger that set the stage for what happened next. And I said, well, you said you sounded pretty frustrated, and then you threw that ball, and it hit him right in the face. That's mean. He goes, I didn't mean to hit him in the face. I was just throwing him the ball. And he grinned at me like, it was a bad combination, Papa. And I just thought, man, kids are so much like grown-ups. Because I can't tell you how many times somebody has told me, I don't see why they took that email so out of context. Why did they think I was being mean? I didn't aim for that. I wasn't trying to be that. Do you know that you don't have to try to be mean? Anybody had anybody be mean to them? Raise your hands if you've had someone be mean to you. Raise your hands if you've been mean to somebody. You see why we don't give each other the benefit of the doubt? You see? And so we need to understand that in community life, we're going to have to be careful. Because a snarky remark here or an offhanded word there sets the stage for people to interpret everything else we do as kind or unkind. We can make kindness happen, and it starts with us caring about our words. James says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. You've heard that verse before, haven't you? Right? It's going to happen today. What a friend we have in Jesus. We can sing happy praise-filled songs, and say prayers for one another this morning. How many of us will make it through the rest of this day without messing up with our words? It's tough. But we have Christian kindness begins with a very careful approach to our words. If that's convicting to you, believe me, I should have a mirror up here so I can preach to myself, because this is hard. We live in a culture that teaches us to have one-liners and cut each other down. It's not the Christ way, though. It's not the fabric that builds Christian community. Kindness, care, what is constructive, what is uplifting, what is appropriate for the other, what is a blessing. This should govern the things we allow out of our mouths. Secondly, we need to embody a spirit of kindness. It might be kind of a surprise to you as you're reading through this chapter, and he says, be careful about what comes out of your mouth. And then the next verse says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, because all these things Paul's talking about, in Ephesians 4, he's basically talking about a life that flows out of the transformation the Holy Spirit is doing in us. Right? Is God kind? How many of you would think that the gospel, how many of you think Jesus was testifying, bring evidence that God is kind? I do. If God is kind, what should he be producing in us? Kindness. And if kindness is not what is coming out of us in our lives, guess who we're grieving? The Holy Spirit. Right? Because what's the Spirit trying to do? Cultivate the character of Christ in us. If we're saying, well, I want to follow Jesus, but I just don't want him to make me kind. We are actually grieving the Holy Spirit because we're working against what God's trying to do in us. Kindness flows from the hearts of people who are transformed by the Holy Spirit. Kindness is the result of the Spirit's work in your life. Not only that, it's the evidence. I would go so far as to say that if I see someone and they are acting unkindly, I see that as in opposition to what God would do in their life. When I see myself acting unkindly, I think this is not consistent with the grace of God. Something needs to change. As hard as that is. Because don't we have this habit of saying, I'm a sinner and I understand that. I recognize my weakness. I'm just so glad for God's amazing grace. That's good so far. But sometimes what we don't say is, and so since God's grace is so amazing, I don't need to change. My son Tyler has been a professional musician for a long time. He's been on lots of tours. And there's been a few times where I've taken a few vacation days. If he's on a tour and they have an extra bunk on the bus, there's times I've taken a week of vacation and just gone and ridden on the bus with him. And of course, that means that for parts of the day, the bus driver and I are the only two old guys with nothing to do. And so while they're sound checking and setting up and doing things, I get into these conversations with the bus driver. There was one tour I took a little visit with, and his name was Pops. He was actually, I think, and kind of, I had trouble sleeping thinking that that guy was driving while we were sleeping. He was so old, I just thought, man, that guy's going to kick off any moment. I don't know if I, you know, I kind of, I prayed a lot when I was on that tour. And sometimes, now, Pops was an older gentleman from Tennessee, and he had some people he didn't like so well and some people he liked fine. And when he had a political view, he wasn't shy about just spouting off what he thought, or there's a view about a certain group of people, he just spout that off. And it was kind of shocking to me, you know, I mean, to hear him just say something that I thought was like totally racist or, you know, completely out of line for anybody to say. And it'd be the two of us sitting on the bus and he just makes some gross racist generalization about a whole group of people. And then he'd look at me, and the look on my face was like, I cannot believe you just said that. And he picked up on it. And you know what he said? You think I'm hateful? You do, don't you? You think I'm hateful, don't you? And I thought, man, this guy is genius. Because he says anything he wants, and if somebody reacts, he goes, now, I don't mean to be hateful. And I just thought, you know, that's so much what we're like. We don't let things change about us. We lean into God's grace for forgiveness. But we just think if we just add a little attack, oh, I know that was probably out of line, or I know I should be different, that somehow that means you don't need to change. And that's a shallow, unsatisfactory form of Christianity. The truth of the gospel, it changes you so that you're not grieving the Spirit, you're pleasing the Spirit. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit, which if you look in Galatians, guess what one of the words that describes the fruit of the Spirit is? Kindness. Kindness flows from hearts that are transformed. Jesus said when he was speaking at the Feast of Tabernacles and they were pouring out all this water that just flowed off the sacrifice and off the altar, and it was this abundance of God's blessing was being represented in that. And Jesus said, if anyone believes in me, streams of living water will flow from them. Hear that? Not into them, from them. That when we follow Jesus and we're being transformed by His Spirit, this kindness, this character flows from us. And I've quoted that verse a lot, but look at verse 39, the beginning. And by this, He meant the Spirit whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. The Spirit of God is much more than miraculous signs and gifts. The Spirit of God manifests itself in truth and character and behavior, the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus says, if you believe in me, this fruit, in this case, Jesus is using the metaphor of a river, this river of goodness flows through you, from you, into the world around you. And that means we need to throw away the barriers, the things that would hinder kindness. He says, get rid of all bitterness. Why would you have to tell somebody to get rid of bitterness? Because we harbor it, don't we? Have you ever found yourself saying something snarky or being kind of ungracious? And if you really think about it, if you stop right there, you realize what is happening here. And there's some old resentment, some old bitterness that you've kept locked away in a nice little plastic box deep in the recesses of your heart. And most of the time, you're able to operate like it's not there. But once in a while, it presents itself and flows out. Paul says, if you're going to be a kind community, you're going to have to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice. He's just getting warmed up here. Grudges, judgments, hates, resentments. Now, this is an amazing work God has to do in our lives, but suffice it for right now to realize that if we're going to be a community characterized by kindness, we're going to have to take that garbage seriously. Because resentment and bitterness and grudges and judgments and angers do not serve kindness very well. They work against it. We have to understand that kindness requires that we turn away from bitterness and bad attitudes and ill will toward others. I like that. If kindness is goodwill, we need to think, what do we do to turn away from ill will, right? You know what ill will is? Is when something bad happens to somebody else and you find yourself smirking, saying, serves them right. That might be a true statement, but it's not very kind. And this kindness, we need to remember, is the fruit of the Spirit. This kindness is actually the way of Jesus. Raise your hand if you understand that Christianity is a call to follow in the way of Jesus. Raise your hand if you understand that. Is Jesus kind? What must his people be? Kind. To who? To the worthy? Who's worthy? Actually, no one. You know, I mean, if you weren't kind to me, I'd say serves me right. I mean, most of us have done something where we shouldn't be surprised if someone is not kind. But who is Jesus kind to? To the worthy? Those who deserve? No. God demonstrates his love in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. The kindness of God is not bound by you or me. Praise God, because I don't deserve it. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another. You know, in the gospel it says, Jesus looked at the crowds of people and he just thought, oh, those poor people. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're just wandering around. You ever had that feeling? Where you just look and say, what is making us do what we do in this world? It's not some big guiding shepherd, it seems like, for the most part. It seems like we're all just bumping around. And that ticks me off, right? You ever been in a line of people in a grocery store or something, and you're just thinking, these people are in my way? You ever been trying to get from point A to B in your car, and those cars are in your way, right? Who's at the center of your world at that moment? you. Kindness is when we start thinking about what it is to be in somebody else's shoes. Compassion is when we think about that. And forgiving, just as who forgave? Christ. As God forgives us in Christ. Kindness, the kind that I'm talking about, is the kind exemplified by Christ. We've got to quit thinking, oh, that's Jesus. He's supposed to be that way. Then there's me. No. The power of Christ is through our surrender and through the work of the Spirit. He shapes. He makes us Jesus-shaped. Where we are able to empathize with others. Where we can have compassion. Where we can forgive the ways we've been wronged. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity said this: the worldly person treats certain people kindly because he likes them. You know, Jesus said it's no great shake if you like people, if you love people that are like you. Right? Lewis says, a worldly person treats certain people kindly because he likes them. The Christian, trying to treat everyone kindly, finds himself liking more and more people as he goes on, including people he could not even have imagined himself liking at the beginning. You know what church has taught me? There are people that I never would have thought I could have a relationship with, but I can with Christ. That I have a capacity for relationship that is bigger than my capacity to understand or like. That there are people in this room, in this church family, who I don't understand, and yet I'm able to be kind. That's when community is really happening. That's when the gospel is really happening. And guess who makes that happen here? You and me, as we take this admonition and take hold of God's grace and say, that's what we want to be, a community called kindness, a community called grace, a community where we give kindness to people, not because they're worthy, but because we have received kindness. And we want to be a channel of that kindness to those around us. Will you join me in being men and women committed to letting God make us a kind group? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for Jesus, whose kindness is more than I can grasp. Thank you, God, for a Spirit that says He can transform me. Thank you, God, for a church that is my lab for kindness. Through this community, through my willingness and my desire to make it happen, help me become kind and help this church to be known for its kindness as Jesus is producing fruit in us. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note through our website, valleycc.org. Thank you.